Welcome to Triad Arts Up Close. I'm David Ford. Janice 414 is on the verge of releasing their very first album, and they want you to come celebrate. The self-titled Janice 414, recorded, mixed, and produced by Mitch Easter at Fidelitorium Studios, is full of sweaty, energetic rock and roll with just a pinch of punk. And you'll hear plenty of 90s influence too, but delve just a little beneath the surface and you'll find a whole host of musical references hiding amongst the interconnected storylines. As lead singer, guitarist, and songwriter Chad Barnard tells it, those stories are deeply personal, collected over many years, and they're keeping it real for Janice 414 fans. They're set to catchy melodies, too, that'll have you humming. Coming up Friday, May 11th, those tunes will be ringing through the Flatiron in Greensboro during the band's CD release party, beginning at 10 o'clock with special guests Bell Indica. In the meantime, here's my interview with Chad and guitarist, keyboardist, and background vocalist Shane Maugham.
Every hesitation seems like an act of war.
He writes pop songs and he add pop plus metal equals punk. There's something about, because our drummer plays in metal bands, he has that natural inclination to push things and drive a little more, and I think that Chad's poppy melodies combined with our drummer's just edge, and I've just kind of put my guitar to fit right in the middle of those two, and it has that kind of punk aspect to it. I mean, I've told people, we never thought, hey, we're turning to a punk band, but all of a sudden we listen to our songs and they're all 2.5 minutes long and a lot of just driving punky feel to it. And it's just the result of the four of us putting our stuff together. Our musical backgrounds all collide and have this kind of faux punk.
It's neat when you get that faux punk. Now, there's a new band or a tune, faux punk. I'm going to write that one down. But it's neat when it's organic like that because it's your sound. I mean, it's just Janice 414. You can call it whatever you want, but it's a neat mix.
Yeah, I appreciate that. There's always – people always come up to us with references, and I'm like, I don't get the reference they make, but, I mean, that's cool.
1, 2, 3, 4!
But it seems like a thread or something that's important to you, Chad, is just raw, real.
Yeah, I mean, I'm totally of the school. I mean, the literature I go to, the songs I go to, I mean, you know, like, I mean, it's sort of cliche to say the Beats these days because everybody uses them. But especially Kerouac and especially Thomas Wolfe, I mean, just that whole thing that everybody on the street has their story they're telling. And to me, I just really get into our life and stuff that's happened to us, and especially to me since I'm writing the lyrics, and every song has an insane just amount of personal references that depending on which of my friends you are, you'll get different in-jokes that other people would never get.
Well, then you take real and you add, I do everything musically, especially by just feeling. We had a discussion in practice a couple weeks ago about how I never play the same thing twice for a lot of our songs. It's because I don't feel it that way the same way every time. So you take his reel and my reel, which are, you know, he's a very consistent guitar player. He likes the rhythm and he plays that rhythm. And, you know, it's real to him, but for me, real is what I feel at the moment. So my feeling and his reality kind of has this, it melds into, I mean, I think it's how we think music. It's just what it's supposed to be like. You know, this is whatever happens at that moment.
It's a nice balance because you do need both. The solidity, so I'm on that journey with you, but then you throw off a little detour or something that's spontaneous and improvisational. It really does give that Jimi Hendrix rawness that I really like. I get both in what I'm hearing in a lot of these tunes.
But his consistency is no less real than my inconsistency. As far as, I mean, that's who he is. He's a very scheduled person by nature, and I'm an anti-schedule completely. And it's funny how it comes through in our music.
It was so funny because when we were recording, and I was knocking off a lot of the acoustic tracks because I play acoustic. Even though we play loud, fast music, I'm playing acoustic the whole time. And I play it real percussive and real rhythmic because most bands, like the drummer, will focus in on the bass player. But in our band, the drummer focuses a lot with me because I'm doing a lot of accents that it only feels right if he kicks in the same time with me. And it was funny. Mitch was like, you know, there's a skill there. You're doing something I've never seen. I don't know why you would choose to play like that, but it's pretty impressive. And the reason I had was because for 10, 12, 13 years, I wasn't playing with anybody. So I was just in my room by myself on a piece of guitar playing songs, and I had to be my drummer. I had to be the different stuff. That's how my style evolved.
And I didn't want to let him out an IQ of 3. Well, I'm glad you mentioned Mitch. What do you pick up from a guy like that in terms of, I mean, he produced some of your idol. I mean, we're talking about REM was definitely an influence. And
Pavement,
another one. What are some of your takeaways from that working with Mitch?
He just has a huge knowledge. I mean, yeah, we could have done this album and tried to self-record it, and it would have I think the songs would have carried. But adding a producer and someone especially as knowledgeable as him, it just, like on Unspoken, it's the middle of our album, it's the slow song on our album. He was like, oh, you know what you need on this? You need this Echoplex.
Oh, yeah, the echo.
You need to take this Wurlitzer, which is a, you know, an organ-based instrument. We need to hook it through an Echoplex and then run it through an old 40 speaker that people used to have in their families when they listened to the radio.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll mic that.
Actually, it was a Watkins copycat for you nerds.
Oh, okay. And so it was just, we would have never thought of that. And it, the effect that it gave it to the song, it took the song to a whole other place it would never have went.
She called it quits. I said that's it. Threw each other off.
And there's also good times where he comes in and says, ah, you really don't want to do that. And we were at a comfortable place where he could tell us that because we were like, you know, you'd be totally open. If something's not working, you tell us. And it's just something because structurally you just don't want to. And there were sometimes I was singing. He goes, I don't think, because I'm not a trained singer by any stretch. And he's like, I don't think you want the note you're trying to go for. And I'd never thought of it that way. And Shane was always like, I always thought you couldn't hit it. And I was like, no, I didn't understand which note I was really supposed to hit.
And plus he has that ear. I always joke, could you have it audiolizing? The audio version visualizing, like you hear things before you hear it, then you make it happen. And that's how I do most everything. Anything I play, a lot of times I'll hear it first and just try to play what I hear. And he had that same thing, except for it was not just in playing or what we should do. It was like, okay, this is obviously the Hammond through the Leslie because that's what fits. And I've never touched a Hammond or seen a Leslie, but he had them both and goes and pulls them out and says, okay, let's go. Let's do it here. Uh-huh. And like the Watkins copycat, we use a different point. And then just as far as the full album, we actually let Mitch, we played a couple extra songs. We got down to one song left. We had one spot. We had three songs. So we were like, Mitch, what do you think? We want your opinion because you know what you're doing better than any of us. And the one he picked is one of my favorite tracks on the album. It's Begun. And that was probably not going to be on there.
There's no two ways about it. You ain't brave or you're dumb.
It's really just a straight, like, blues song. It's probably one of the most straight-ahead songs we have. And he took it to a whole different other place, like an early Meat Puppets, just like Sonic Canyon-type thing. And we would have never thought of that.
I think it was more his late Hendrix.
Yeah, it's him. We have different references.
Something to remember long after this day is done. Holding steady eyes wide open, I'll go get the gun.
My thanks to Janice414, lead singer, guitarist, and songwriter Chad Barnard, and guitarist, keyboardist, background vocalist Shane Mock. Their new self-titled CD, Janice414, comes out Friday, May 11th, and you can help celebrate at their CD release party Friday at 10 o'clock at the Flatiron in Greensboro. They'll be joined by special guest Vel Indica. Janice414 will also be performing on Saturday night, June 9th, at the Twin City Rib Fest in Winston-Salem. And you'll find links to more information on our website, wfdd.org/triadarts. Chad and Shane join me this Friday at 1:30 during Triad Arts Weekend, where they'll perform live in Studio A. I'm David Ford. Thanks for joining me today for Triad Arts Up Close.